Today's sermon, I would like to talk a little bit about something that came up in our Bible study Wednesday night. And I wanted to make sure that I explained it a little bit better and addressed some of the issues that we talked about. And I want us to start off with 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, we read the story where the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord due to Israel's lack of understanding of the Lord and respect of God and the true worship of God. It starts out 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And the word of the Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Ephek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who had killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us now bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, and when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. You see, they had been worshiping in vain prior to this. The ones that they had set in the office of priests had been robbing from God's offering. They were intended to have God allow them to take one little fork. They would stick that in the pot, and that whatever meat they brought out, was theirs to eat. But these people would take big treble hooks kind of idea, and they would stick it in there, and they'd bring out these whole big pieces of meat. Not only that, but they were sitting in the gates of the city as judges, and they were taking bribes from people in order that they would receive judgment from them. So all these things they were doing wrong, and the Lord sent to them Samuel to kind of set things straight, to get things back in order. Now we see Samuel went to the high priest at that time. And the high priest knew that this was God speaking through Samuel. He listened to Samuel and he understood and knew that this was from God. But he still refused to do anything about the situation. He allowed the situation to continue rather than correct it. We see the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord had become rare in those days. Now whether this was because of their lack of devotion and worship of him or for some other reason, we don't know, but people had gotten severely off course. And God had allowed the Philistines this great victory to try to get their attention. But it didn't work. They were trying them, instead of listening to God and seeking God, they tried to force God's hand by bringing in the ark. They were treating the ark like some big lucky charm. Like this was God here on earth. You know, they wasn't worshiping God, they were worshiping the ark. And if you notice the way the scripture reading there, they were saying that the ark might save us. Not that God might save us, not that God may help us, but that the ark, they were worshiping the ark. They tried in vain to treat God just like these other false gods and these superstitions around them. They had been mistakenly led to think that the power was in the ark instead of in God. They put their trust in the ark. They sought the protection of the ark, and they sought, even like I said, to worship it instead of God. The ark had become a religious rite, an object, rather than what it was intended for, which was a visual reminder of who God was and what God had done for them. A reminder of where they had come from and where they were yet to go. A reminder of proof of or validity of what their parents and grandparents had been telling them. You see, inside the Ark of the Covenant, there was a tablet that Moses had brought down from the mountain. There was a rod of Aaron that was still budding. There was the manna from heaven. All these things were in that. So all these things was intended as a way of reminder of them. And same way with us with the Lord's table. We're going to take communion there. This is a reminder of what Christ has done for us. Of where we come from and where we're going as a people. And all these things. So this was kind of the same thing. And they took it and they had no longer was it a reminder, but it became an act of worship itself. The same way as the danger for us for the Lord's communion to become commonplace, or we lose sight of what it really is and to not take it seriously as it needs to be. But instead they turned this ark into idol worship the same way they'd done with the bronze serpent. when they grumbled against God, and God sent fiery serpents to strike them in the desert. He told Moses to make a bronze serpent, lift it up, put it on a pole. Of course, this was foreshadowing Jesus Christ. He says, anyone who looks upon those serpents, that bronze serpent, shall live. And those that don't shall die. Well, they kept this serpent, and they started worshiping the serpent. I forgot the name that they called it, but they started worshiping it like a false god. So one of the kings, when they finally come to Israel, one of the three kings who sought after God, he had it destroyed to keep the people from doing this. Yet the same kind of principle about why God allowed them to know where Moses was buried at. They didn't want them worshiping Moses' bones or Moses' body the way some churches still do now. They still worship some of the bones of the apostles. They go to them and bow down and worship these bones and ask these bones and the apostles for healings and things of that nature. So that's why God never did allow them to know where Moses was buried. Now we jump ahead in the story, and after God lays this heavy hand on the Philistines, where they took the ark back to them, destroying their idol, their statues of their god Dagon, and laying all kinds of different plagues, boils and mice and all these other things that he laid upon them, they finally realize that this is God and they need to get rid of this thing. They need to get it away from them before it kills them completely. So the Philistines said, 1 Samuel chapter 6, starting at verse 7, now therefore, make a new cart. Take two milk cows and have neither been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Then take the ark of the Lord and set it on the cart, and put the articles of gold which are you returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side. Then send it away and let it go. And watch, if it goes up the road to its territory, that is back to Jerusalem, to Beth Shemesh, then we will know that it is God who has done his evil, who has brought all these things and signs to us. But if it does not, then we should know it is not by God's hand that it struck us, that it just happened to us by chance. Now the idea that I want us to listen or look at here is this idea of the new cart. See, God has, as he always has and continues to do, is very specific about how he wants things done, about how he wants worship done, about how he wants things treated, and how even our lives. He's always been very specific. And God had said in Exodus chapter 25 exactly how he wanted the ark to be moved. We read that there had to be poles made from a very certain kind of tree, that these poles had to be overlaid with gold, and that they had to be inserted into the ark in a certain way. And even then, besides all this, the only ones who were allowed to carry it were for those from the tribe of Levi. So now the Philistines, though, didn't know all this, or, you know, maybe overlooked or excused because they didn't know, but David and the Israelite nation did know this, and they knew it exactly. And yet, even though they knew better, they copied this new style of worship, this new style of dealing with God from these Philistines. And they made carts from themselves, but they paid a very heavy price for it. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We see here that David and others built this new cart of their own. Of course, the cart that the Philistines made was cut up and used for to offer sacrifice to the Lord. So David and them came and they built this new cart for themselves. And they put the Ark of the Covenant on it. Not only did they change God's commandment in doing so, but they also letting others who were not Levites move the Ark. They went a step further in also bringing in musical instruments to worship God as they went along the way. And of course we know that the anger of the Lord was kindled against all this, and he struck down Uzzah. And David, for some reason, was perplexed about why God did this, despite the fact that he changed God's rules. He changed God's ordinance and how God wanted things done. Now, the reason I bring this to your attention is because, as the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, it says, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition and for us to learn from, for us to take example from, take heed from, upon who the ends of the earth have come, in the ages have come. So God, all these things happen, and God's put them in this Bible so that we may learn from it, and so we don't repeat the same mistake. So we don't go down the same path that they went. Now, just as I said earlier, God is always specific as to what he wants from us in our lives, and also in our worship, and how we worship. Yes, the cart made it easier for them to move the ark around. Yes, it made it easier to let just anyone move it rather than finding someone from the tribe of Levite, or from Levi rather, to come and move it. But it is not about what is easier for us or more convenient for us. It is supposed to be about what God wants, and more importantly, what is acceptable to God. We talked last week about different church and different denominations and how they worship. And our Bible says just a little bit. Now, while it is not my place to judge them or condemn them or get up here on the pulpit and talk bad about them and beat them down, it is my place to teach and to tell you and everyone else what the Lord has said in His Word, what the Lord demands of us in His worship, in our worship to Him, and what He said He wants done and what is acceptable in His sight. Now, for example, a lot of churches have musical instruments in their worship service. So what's the big deal? Some people say the Bible doesn't say specifically we can't do it. Or they point out the fact that David had allowed it. Well, David did a lot of things that I would not do. Like I said, murder and lie and all these other things. He did a lot of things I would not do. Dance naked in the street. A lot of things that we don't do. We don't copy everything just because David did it. But that aside, I challenge anyone to find me anywhere in Scripture where David allowed these musical instruments that he brought in into the church, into the temple, into the place of worship. And it was never done. He always kept it out in the courtyard. Never allowed it to come into the church itself. And what about what God says? You know, God tells us that. You know, everyone, if you would, go to Amos chapter 6, verse 3 and 5. I want to look at this scripture. Again, this is God speaking through the prophet Amos. If there's ever any questions about musical instruments, this should help lay a lot of it to rest. It says, "Woe to you who put afar off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory and stretch out on your couches, who eat lambs from the flock and calves in the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of string instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David did." Here God plainly says, you know, woe to you who sing these songs and to these musical instruments the way David did. That tells us right there that this is not acceptable to God. But so many people, you know, say, well, they just ignore scriptures that don't fit in. It don't quite go along with what they teach. They just pretend like it's not there. But here God plainly says that, you know, woe to them. And besides all that, we cannot add the use of things from the Old Testament into the way we worship. Now, that was then. This is now. We're now under the New Testament. And we can't justify it no more than we can justify using incense or animal sacrifice in our services now, because they had them. That would be inconsistent with what the Word of God says. What I'm saying this is that in the ninth chapter of Hebrews says the first, or the old covenant, had ordinances of divine service and earthly tabernacle. That is, verse 1 through 10 talks about those things. It says, "But Christ came as a better high priest of better things, with greater and much more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," meaning the church. We are the New Testament church, not the Old Testament church. The old things have passed away. Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Or verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, "No one puts an unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away and the garment tear will be made worse." In other words, you don't take a new piece of cloth and put it on something you've washed several times. Otherwise, when you go to wash it, it's going to make the tear worse. He goes on to say, he says, "Nor do you put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins will break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." The point Jesus is making here is you don't take the old things and put them into the new things. We're the New Testament church. We don't do things just because that's the way it was done in the Old Testament. We're to follow the pattern set for us in the New Testament of worship. Now, even if you wanted to ignore all of this, then you still had the fact that the early church, that is, the ones who had the apostles there with them, who still had them to teach them and to guide them in how to worship, never, ever allowed musical worship in any of new musical instruments in any of their worship in any shape or form. Church historians are all agreed no church used instruments in worship music and worship for centuries, from anywhere from at least 400 and some say at least 1,000 years after Christ's death, or after the day of Pentecost, rather. Or what about the words of warning from Paul? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says that you may learn from us, not thinking of men above that which is written of God. The New King James says that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written in Scripture. That's the way he puts it. In other words, no matter what some man tells you, not what somebody else tells you, do not go beyond what is written in the Scripture. God is very specific in what He wants, and this is what He says. It doesn't matter what somebody else teaches you or what somebody else thinks is acceptable to God. If God doesn't say it, don't believe it. For example, Moses. Noah. God told Noah very specifically. He said, I want you to build me an ark of gopher wood. Now, He didn't say He couldn't use locusts or pine or whatever else. But because Moses had used some other type of wood, I'm convinced that the ark would have sunk. God, by saying what He wanted, very specifically ruled out everything else. He said, I want it made out of gopher wood. So that's what Noah used. That's the same way with us. God says, this is the way I want you to worship. Everything else is excluded. God means what He says, and He says what He means. We can't go adding to it whatever we want just to entertain ourselves or to make things more convenient for us. Nowhere in the New Testament does God authorize the use of any musical instruments whatsoever. I urge you once again to do like Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. I have here every single scripture in the New Testament, and it won't take long. It's not very many that deal with music or musical instruments or singing. Starting out, it says, when Jesus had instituted Lord's Supper, He said, in His memory, it is written in Matthew 16:30, that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Again, Mark chapter 14, verse 26 says, it is written, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Paul and Silas were in the jail at Philippi, but about midnight they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Romans chapter 15, verse 9 says, who incidentally, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, said, for this reason I will confess you to among the Gentiles and sing to your name. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I also sing with understanding. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then the seventh one in Colossians chapter 13:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart as to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, meaning the authority of the Lord, Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father in Him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Hebrews chapter 13, For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. And the last one, James chapter 5, says, in anything among you suffer, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing songs. Now, of all these scriptures, like I said, this is everyone in the New Testament concerning singing. Nowhere in here do you find anything about musical instruments. The only place you will see it is in Revelation, when it's talking about heaven and when we get to heaven. It talks about harps and things in heaven, but it's, again, just painting a picture, symbolic of things. Nowhere do you find in the church where it says to use musical instruments. And by God not saying it, of course, it's excluded the same way with the gopher wood. Everywhere in the Bible it talks about it, New Testament says, sing, making melody in your heart, not keeping melody with the piano or anything else. Now, we can apply these exact same principles to any part of our worship service. For example, another question I get asked is about women preachers and why are they not allowed in most churches. Well, fact of the matter, I can't tell you why. God said it, and that's the way it is. The same way that God was very specific about the Levites being the priests in the Old Testament. Don't know why. I'm sure there's other men who could have done it or whatever, but God said, this is the way I want it done. The same way with us in the church. God says, when you come together and you sing praises to me, I want it done such a way. Anything else is not acceptable to God. Anything else outside of this is outside the will of God. We have the great example of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. It says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each his censer and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and offered up profane or strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses and Aaron said, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded holy. Before all the people, I must be glorified. These two people had done what God told them not to do, and God struck them down with fire. He said, don't take strange fire. And they took this profane fire, this fire that was not true, that what God said he wanted. They tried offering it up, and God struck them down. You know, this is what God says at the end of this. I am a holy God, and those who come near me must regard me as holy. We must treat him as God and as holy. If he said to do something, we need to know that this is God's thing to do it. And we need to know this is exactly how he wants it done, and it doesn't matter what we want or what we think. It's got to be what God says. Our God is an awesome God, and when he comes before him, we need to worship the way he says to do. Or else, just like that profane fire, our worship will be profane. Our worship will be in vain. When I am asked why I go to a church of Christ, I have but one answer. I don't come here because that's where Grandma and Grandpa talked about me when I was little. I don't come here because where Mom and Dad go. I don't come here because that's where I was brought up or where I went to Sunday school. I come to the Church of Christ because out of all the denominations that I've been to, at all the places I've went, this is the most scripturally accurate church that I found out there. This is the most biblically based church out there. Everything I've found in the Church of Christ, I can find scripture, Bible, and verse on. Not so with the other churches. That is why I come to the Church of Christ. That is why we don't have musical instruments in the Church of Christ. We have no authorization from God to do so. And so we follow what God tells us to do. Now, I know there are a lot of new carts out there. Every day there's new churches popping up with new teachings and new things. And yes, I know there are a lot more entertaining churches out there. There's a lot more churches that are more fun to go to. Maybe a lot of churches that require less from the congregation than what we require here at the Church of Christ. But, you know, church isn't supposed to be about that. Church isn't supposed to be what's fun, what's entertaining, what takes my mind off my problems, or what's easier for me. Church is supposed to be about God, about worshiping God, giving praise and offering to God. That's why we come here to Church of Christ. That's what we have the rest of the week to do all that other stuff. We have the rest of the week to entertain ourselves to do all this. But this is supposed to be about God and His will. Now, if you're outside that will, if you've stumbled any way, shape, or form, if you've not offered up to God the type of life that He's required, the type of worship that He's required, then we stand ready to help you get back on that right way, to get back on that right path, and to worship Him the way He should be. If there's any way we can help you at all, please come forward as we stand and sing.